Hi, welcome to Bookie, which unlock big ideas from world bestsellers in audio, text, and mind map. Please download Bookie at Apple Store or Google Play with more features. Get your free mind snack now. Today we will unlock the book Hiroshima. This book tells the life stories of six survivors of the atomic bombing of Hiroshima. Like a documentary, this book provides an authentic and objective account of the survivors' lives. At 8:15 on August 6, 1945, the United States dropped the 3-meter-long, 71-centimeter-diameter, 3-ton atomic bomb, Little Boy, on Japan. At the height of 570 meters above ground, the bomb exploded into a massive fireball with a diameter of about 150 meters. It gradually rose to a height of 6,000 meters, forming a mushroom cloud. Beneath the mushroom, Hiroshima instantly turned into a living hell. The A-bomb survivors are known as hibakusha in Japanese, which literally translates to explosion-affected persons. At least 100,000 hibakusha died in the blast. Some died from burns caused by the combustion, while others succumbed to the medical complications of nuclear radiation. Despite their immense pain and suffering, thousands of Japanese faced death silently with little resistance because they believed their sacrifice was for the emperor. Those who died included a group of young girls who sang Japan's national anthem, Kimi ga yo, welcoming death. Others said that the moment they decided to lay down their lives for the emperor, they experienced a glorious sensation that they had never felt before. While some of the survivors felt resentful, numb, or ruminated endlessly on their experiences, they all shared a great sense of pride from overcoming this terrible nightmare. The Japanese are unique in their devout support for their emperor. This led them to heedlessly invade and commit crimes against humanity during the Nanjing massacre that would later shock the world. In the same manner, they were willing to fearlessly sacrifice their lives and accept death silently, all while enduring the great suffering caused by the atomic bombing of Hiroshima. So, what is the mentality of those who experienced the disaster? How did their lives change? In this bookie, we will follow six protagonists to uncover their stories and learn how witnessing the obliteration of their hometown and loved ones by the atomic bomb forever altered their lives. They are 1. Mrs. Hatsuyo Nakamura, accepting fate and pushing on. 2. Dr. Terafumi Sasaki, keeping disaster at arm's length. 3. Dr. Masakazu Fuji, the healing power of enjoyment. 4. Mr. Kiyoshi Tanimoto, the pastor caught in a dilemma. 5. Miss Toshiko Sasaki, blooming through the ashes. 6. Father Wilhelm Kleinsorge, selfless giving and self-forgetting. On August 6, 1945, the United States dropped a previously unseen bomb on Hiroshima, the atomic bomb. This move would usher in and mark the beginning of mankind's nuclear age. Under the dazzling white light of the bomb, many people died instantly, but against all odds, some survived. The six main characters in this book are among the survivors. The first of which is Hatsuyo Nakamura. Mrs. Nakamura was the widow of a tailor and relied on the sewing machine left behind by her husband to support her three children. Right before the explosion, the children were resting and Mrs. Nakamura was cooking in the kitchen. All of a sudden, there was a bright flash, and a remarkable white light filled the sky. Almost immediately after this flash, Mrs. Nakamura found herself buried beneath falling tiles. After struggling to free herself from the rubble, she quickly rescued her children, took them outside, and prepared to flee to the nearby evacuation area, Asano Park. Before she left, Mrs. Nakamura stuffed her sewing machine, the tool of her livelihood, into the concrete reservoir in front of her house. After a night of rest in the park, a priest invited the Nakamura family to a chapel. Although they did not have obvious wounds, Mrs. Nakamura and the others had been feeling sick. 6 days after the explosion, the feeble Nakamura family left Hiroshima to go to Mrs. Nakamura's sister-in-law in the nearby city of Kabe. On their way there, they heard that the entire city of Hiroshima was destroyed by the energy that had been released when an atom was split in two. Although Mrs. Nakamura did not fully understand what that meant, this so-called Adam was responsible for her sudden hair loss. After only 3 to 4 days, she was completely bald. After that, she and her youngest daughter began to feel unusually weak and tired. Little did they know that the strange disease that plagued them was radiation sickness caused by the atomic bomb. As the number of people with similar symptoms continued to grow, a disturbing rumor began to circulate that eventually reached Mrs. Nakamura's ears. According to this rumor, the atomic bomb contained a deadly toxin that would linger in Hiroshima for 7 years. This meant that as long as the toxin was still present, no one could enter Hiroshima. The first thing Mrs. Nakamura thought of was the sewing machine she had hidden near her home. When she realized that she would not be able to retrieve it, she began to develop a strong hatred for the United States. At the beginning of September, scientists conducted tests and declared that there would be no danger in entering Hiroshima. The Nakamura family's hatred towards America began to fade. After her hair grew back, Mrs. Nakamura and her family returned to Hiroshima. She rented a wooden hut, cleared up the nearby wreckage, and planted a garden. Her children were also able to return to school. Despite being feeble and poor, Mrs. Nakamura gathered her strength to support her family. She borrowed money to fix her rusted sewing machine, found part-time work as a seamstress, and helped her neighbors with chores to make ends meet. Due to her weak condition, she had to rest for 2 days following 3 days of work, so she only earned enough money to buy food. However, misfortune often comes in pairs. Mrs. Nakamura eventually fell ill, and she reluctantly sold her sewing machine to pay for her medical bills. She considers this decision to be the saddest moment in her life. Life continued to prove more difficult for Mrs. Nakamura. Her status as a hibakusha, or explosion-affected person, led to employment discrimination when applying for jobs. Many survivors suffered from several unexplained symptoms, such as weakness, fatigue, digestive problems, and occasional headaches. Many employers believed that even without obvious symptoms, hibakusha were unreliable due to their weakened physical state, making it especially difficult for Mrs. Nakamura to find a stable job. She took up several temporary jobs and tried her best to survive. Because she was busy making ends meet for her family, Mrs. Nakamura didn't have time to express or evaluate her thoughts on the bombing. When considering the pilot, the President of the United States, or the militarists who started the war, Mrs. Nakamura didn't feel that anyone was to blame. For her, the explosion was more like a natural catastrophe that she was simply destined to encounter. After many years of hard work, Mrs. Nakamura's life finally took a turn for the better in 1951. As a means of making amends, a professor at the University of Washington built Japanese-style houses for the victims of the explosion, and the Nakamura family was able to move into one of them for only a dollar a month. A friend of Mrs. Nakamura also persuaded her to join a small company that produced mothballs. The boss was accepting of hibakusha and allowed them to take leave for health reasons. The atmosphere in the company was also very welcoming and lively. Her life seemed to be improving, and the horrible memories faded from Mrs. Nakamura's mind. However, there was still more changes on the way. In 1954, the United States tested a hydrogen bomb on Bikini Atoll. The radiation fallout produced by the blast caused poor health conditions and ultimately led to the deaths of crew members aboard a Japanese tuna ship known as the Lucky Dragon No. 5. This event led to wave after wave of protests in Japan. People marched down the streets, calling for the provision of adequate medical care for the victims of the Hiroshima and Nagasaki bombs, which eventually became a political issue. In 1957, Japan's parliament passed the A-bomb victims' medical care law, providing free medical services for the hibakusha and monthly allowances for victims suffering from sequelae. However, like most hibakusha, Mrs. Nakamura had no desire to apply for free medical services during the first few years of their availability, nor did she attend any anniversary gatherings or memorial services. She was worried about the ulterior motives of the politically minded people who were behind the planning of these events. In 1966, Mrs. Nakamura was 55 years old. She had retired and finally applied for free medical care, so she no longer had to worry about medical expenses. Her children were all married, and her son had begun to take care of his elderly mother. She was finally able to enjoy her life a bit. She could give gifts when she wanted to, make embroidery, wear kimonos, and even learn to dance. In 1975, Japan revised a law that provided assistance to hibakusha. As a result, Mrs. Nakamura began to receive a health protection allowance of about $20 a month, which later increased to more than 2 times that amount. One day in 1985, Mrs. Nakamura fainted while dancing. Once she was back on her feet, she felt embarrassed and begged others to leave her alone. She was eventually taken to the hospital in an ambulance, and at her firm request, the doctor allowed her to return home. Despite 40 years having passed since the explosion, its effects still lingered in her life. Today we are just sharing limited content. To unlock more key insights of world-class bestseller, please download our app. Just search for Buki at Apple Store or Google Play. Get your free mind snack now.
Dir hat dieser Podcast gefallen? Dann klicke jetzt auf Abonnieren und empfehle ihn weiter. Bleib immer auf dem Laufenden und folge uns bei Twitter, Instagram und Facebook. Mehr Podcasts findest du auf meinpodcast.de.
Dieser Podcast wird vermarktet durch die Podcastbude.